From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block. President Obama arrived in Seoul, South Korea today for the G20 summit, which begins tomorrow. The president has spent the past several days touring Asia with stops in Indonesia and India. For South Korea, the chance to host President Obama and the rest of the G20 presents an enormous opportunity in terms of policy and perception. NPR's Louisa Lim reports from Seoul.
As President Obama touched down in Seoul, South Korean news channels covered his arrival live. This is a defining moment for the country, which has spent millions preparing for the G20.
It's in a sense a coming out for Korea.
Choi Soo-chan is a professor at KAIST, Korea's answer to MIT. He says for South Korea, being the host and chair of the G20 meeting has deeper significance.
The fact that Korea, which has regarded itself as a sort of weak nation, has become a sort of middle ground nation, and now it can claim itself to be part of this expanded leadership.
South Korea is taking no chances. Some 50,000 police are patrolling the streets, but big demonstrations are planned for tomorrow.
Down.
Some protests are already underway. Here, a few dozen activists rally. They're showing their opposition to a free trade agreement between South Korea and the U.S. It's a deal negotiators are still hoping to clinch before President Obama meets his South Korean counterpart, Lee Myung-bak, tomorrow. It's been held up by disputes over South Korea's treatment of American autos and beef. Now, the South Korean press is hinting a compromise may have been reached. Protester Hwang Hyung-jun says he believes any FTA will benefit big business, not ordinary people.
So you cannot believe the Korean government. I think they will give too much to the U.S. government. That's not fair to Korean people.
So if a deal is reached, it could ignite more fury on the streets. But if it isn't, U.S. businesses could suffer, according to Tammy Overby, vice president for Asia of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
The free trade agreement, really, it is about economics, but it's also about the American footprint in Asia. The rest of the world has not been standing still, so America has got to get in the game.
Next on the agenda, another tricky bilateral, this time with China's president, Hu Jintao. The relationship has spiraled, with disputes over trade, territorial issues, Tibet and Taiwan, among other things. International relations professor Jin Tan Rong from People's University in Beijing says China's been taken aback by the storms overshadowing the two powers.
The climate change, from clear sky to raining, is beyond the expectation of the Chinese side. We don't know what's going wrong. My personal expectation is that after this summit, the free fall of U.S.-China relations will stop.
Let's go.
After that bilateral summit, the opening of the G20 itself, which even has its own theme song. This normally stodgy economic meeting could prove surprisingly exciting this year. In the run-up, officials from Brazil and Germany lashed out at the U.S. policy of quantitative easing, calling it clueless and akin to throwing money from a helicopter. China, too, was critical, perhaps spotting an opportunity to turn the focus away from its own currency. President Obama has responded by writing to the G20 leaders, arguing that a strong recovery in the U.S. would be its most important contribution to global recovery. For the president, this visit to a normally welcoming ally is looking increasingly contentious. Louisa Lim, NPR News, Seoul.